Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're your shortcut to getting really well informed, without drowning in information. The pace of AI innovation is just, well, it's dizzying, isn't it? Feels like every day there's some new headline that could change everything. So today, we're doing something a bit different. We've got this stack of sources all focused on just one day, August 13th, 2025. We're going to unpack the pivotal AI events from that single day, cut through the noise, pull out what's really important, what's surprising, what you actually need to know. We're talking big corporate fights, cutting-edge research, even how governments are getting involved, all from just one day.
Exactly. And when you look at all these things together, these separate news items, they really start to paint a picture. You see where AI is actually heading, the forces shaping it. So this isn't just about what happened on the 13th. It's about helping you understand the why it matters behind these developments for all of us.
Okay, let's jump right in. The biggest headline grabber from that day, no question, Perplexity. Their unsolicited bid for Google Chrome, $34.5 billion. I mean, just wow. Talk about a bold move.
Right. Absolutely massive.
And this is happening while Google's deep in that antitrust fight. Remember, the judge is deciding soon if Google has to sell parts off after that ruling last year about monopolizing search.
Yeah, the timing is definitely interesting.
And the details are wild. The bid is almost double Perplexity's own valuation, which is around $18 billion. But they're saying venture investors are totally committed, ready to fund the whole thing.
Which is quite a claim.
And think about Chrome's reach. Over 60% of the browser market globally, that's what, 3.5 billion users? Plus, Perplexity just launched their own AI browser, Comet, so context matters here.
Right. And you have to ask, is this a serious play to actually buy Chrome? Or is it maybe a really clever viral marketing stunt for Comet?
Good point. Get everyone talking about them as a Google competitor.
Exactly. It puts them on the map instantly, especially when Google's looking a bit vulnerable with the antitrust stuff hanging over them. Of course, Google's not standing still. They'll likely integrate Gemini, their AI, even deeper into Chrome. So, yeah, the outcome of these antitrust cases could really shake things up for the tech giants. The big question mark.
Okay, sticking with the big players, here's where things got really fascinating. Sam Altman and OpenAI, they're essentially squaring up against Elon Musk's Neuralink. In the brain-computer interface field, BCIs.
Ah, yes, the BCI angle.
So, reports on the 13th said OpenAI was in talks to back a startup called Merge Labs. They're raising funds at an $850 million valuation. And Sam Altman, he's listed as a co-founder.
But not operationally.
Right, not running it day to day. But it's significant. This would be OpenAI's venture arm making its first big move into BCIs. And Alex Blania, who you might know from WorldCoin, Altman's iris scanning project, he's apparently overseeing this initiative for OpenAI.
And if you connect the dots, Elon Musk is out there saying Neuralink will implant, what, 20,000 people a year by 2031. He's targeting $1 billion in annual revenue from that.
Huge numbers.
And remember Altman's blog post from way back in 2017, The Merge? He was talking about brain-machine interfaces even then.
So this move, well, it definitely ramps up that public feud between Musk and Altman. It signals OpenAI has ambitions way beyond just, ChatGPT. They're looking at fundamental human augmentation.
And that feud, I mean, it played out so publicly on X, formerly Twitter, that same day. It almost felt like watching a schoolyard fight sometimes.
It did have that kind of energy, didn't it? Between two incredibly powerful figures.
Yeah. Musk was threatening legal action against Apple. He claimed they were pushing OpenAI stuff in the App Store, suppressing rivals like his own XAI's Grok.
Which is a pretty strong accusation.
He actually posted something like, "It's impossible for any company besides OAI to reach #1 in the App Store."
And people online jumped on that pretty fast, right? Oh, yeah. Pointing out examples like DeepSeek and, hey, Perplexity again. Then Altman just replies to Musk's post views with skill issue, or maybe it was bots, just poking him.
Wow.
And the kicker, even Grok, Musk's own AI, got tagged in the conversation and basically sided with Altman. It noted Musk has a documented history of directing algorithm changes to favor his interests. You can't make this stuff up.
It's really something.
Yeah.
I mean, the takeaway here is how personal this rivalry has become. These
Yeah.
guys used to collaborate.
Yeah.
And when you have this level of public sparring between key leaders in AI, you have to wonder what it means for the direction of the field. Does it affect openness, collaboration, the availability of these powerful technologies? It potentially could.
That's a really good point. That public drama definitely shows the personal stakes. But while that fight was out in the open, other things were happening more quietly, geopolitically. Like the U.S. government apparently secretly putting trackers in AI chips headed towards China.
Ah, the hardware angle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the method sounds pretty cloak and dagger. hiding trackers in the chip packaging, or even right inside servers from Dell, Supermicro, servers that have those high-end NVIDIA and AMD AI chips that are restricted.
And the goal is pretty clear, right? It's about catching smugglers, trying to stop this hardware from being illegally rerouted to places like China, bypassing export controls.
Makes sense.
What's interesting is that it seems resellers based in China are kind of aware this might be happening. There was a report of one warning another to look for it carefully.
Oh.
So yeah, these covert tactics definitely add another layer to the whole tech cold war. It's like tech espionage meeting supply chain security.
Meanwhile, AI is also pushing hard into government itself. This was another big story from the 13th. OpenAI and Anthropic basically offered their chatbots to U.S. federal agencies for, get this, $1 per agency for a whole year.
$1. That's quite the introductory offer.
Right. Like a loss leader, but on a massive scale. And there's competition here, too. Anthropic's deal, using their Claude model, covers all three branches of the U.S. government. OpenAI's offer for ChatGPT Enterprise. That was just for the executive branch.
Mm-hmm. And this fits into a bigger picture. Remember, back in July, the Department of Defense gave out big contracts, up to $200 million each to Anthropic, Google, OpenAI, and Musk's xAI.
Right, I remember that.
So now Google's reportedly talking about similar $1 deals for Gemini.
Yeah.
xAI launched Grok for government. Pretty clearly a land grab strategy. Offer it almost free now, get agencies hooked, create dependency, and then convert them to very lucrative long-term contracts later.
Smart business, I guess.
It is. And it's more than just future revenue. It gives these companies direct feedback from really demanding high-stakes government users. Plus, it positions them perfectly to influence the technical standards, the ethical guidelines, everything for AI use across the entire federal government.
That sounds like a brilliant play for the AI companies, getting their foot in the door like that. But you have to wonder, for the agencies, does getting these tools almost free create a risk? Like becoming too dependent on just one or two big companies? Or maybe giving those companies too much influence over future policy?
That's the crucial question, absolutely. The immediate access is obviously tempting and probably very useful, but the long-term implications, vendor lock-in, potential undue influence on policy, that's definitely something we need to watch closely. It could end up concentrating a lot of power and specialized knowledge within a few private companies rather than, say, building up diverse options or strong internal government AI skills.
Yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on. Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Talk about the AI models themselves and how they're evolving. Also, on August 13th, OpenAI actually switched back. They made GPT-4o the default again for paid ChatGPT users. Apparently, there was quite a bit of user backlash when they tried to move away from it.
People didn't like the change.
No. And they also rolled out new settings for GPT-5. Auto, fast, and thinking. These let users bypass the usual model router. Sam Altman even admitted the rollout had been a bit rough and promised users more ways to customize the AI's personality.
Which is interesting in itself.
And here's a key detail, that GPT-5 thinking mode. It has a 196,000 token context window.
Wow, 196K, that's massive.
Huge, right. For anyone not tracking context windows, it basically means the AI can hold vastly more information in its memory during a conversation. So it can understand really long documents or complex ongoing discussions much, much better than older models.
What's really fascinating about this whole episode, though, is seeing how direct user feedback forced a change at a company as big as OpenAI so quickly, too. It really tells you something about how user expectations are now seriously driving how these AI interfaces mature and evolve. They're listening, or they have to listen.
Yeah, the users have spoken. Okay, another big shift announced that day came from Character.ai. They made a major strategic pivot. They're abandoning the quest for artificial general intelligence, AGI.
Really? Giving up on AGI?
Yep. Focusing entirely on AI entertainment instead. The new CEO, Kirandeep Anand, is putting all the emphasis on storytelling, role-playing, and crucially, content moderation. They have about 20 million monthly users, so it's a significant user base.
That is significant. And what does abandoning AGI mean technically for them?
It means they've stopped developing their own big foundational models. They're switching to using open-source ones, like Meta's Llama models.
Interesting. Outsourcing the core tech.
Exactly. And this comes after Google licensed Character.ai's tech last August for something like $2.7 billion. So there's that context. Also important, they've invested a lot in child safety, apparently creating separate models for users under 18. This follows a wrongful death lawsuit involving the platform.
The safety angle is critical there, especially with role-playing AI.
Definitely. And look at their user numbers. They're pretty staggering. 20 million monthly actives, okay? Average time spent, 75 minutes daily.
75 minutes, that's huge engagement, like video game levels.
Yes,
exactly. Anand actually compares it to games like Stardew Valley. He stresses it's about roleplay, not really AI companionship. Users create that are 9 million characters every month, and the demographics. 55% female, over half are Gen Z or Gen Alpha.
Wow.
Financially. They're doing over $30 million in annual revenue run rate, aiming for $50 million by the end of the year, and subscriber growth is up 250%.
So what here? This pivot really shines a light on a hard reality for AI companies. You need a viable business model. AGI is a long, expensive road. Character.ai found a path in entertainment, and it seems to be working very well. It also helps clarify that line between AI for companionship versus AI for pure entertainment. That distinction matters, especially with such high engagement and the need for robust safety, particularly for younger users.
And it taps into a broader trend, too. These AI companion-type apps, even if Character AI positions itself differently, they're projected to bring in $120 million in 2025. So there's clearly demand there for conversational AI.
The market's definitely growing.
Okay, shifting from software to the really deep tech. August 13th also had news on the quantum computing front. Both IBM and Google made claims suggesting powerful quantum computers are, quote, almost here.
Ah, the quantum race.
Always, yeah.
Almost here, right. But maybe getting closer.
Maybe. IBM published a blueprint. They think they can deliver a full-scale, fault-tolerant device by 2030. Their key seems to be using something called low-density parity check codes for error correction.
Okay, technical term, but what's the significance?
It apparently means they need 90% fewer physical qubits. The basic building blocks of quantum computers compared to Google's main approach, which uses surface codes. Fewer qubits needed makes it potentially easier to build.
That is a big difference. Error correction is the huge hurdle in quantum, so needing fewer qubits to achieve it would be a major advantage.
Exactly. Google, meanwhile, also showed off its own progress on error correction that day.
So it's definitely a high-stakes race. Everyone's trying to crack that error correction problem. IBM's approach sounds promising if it pans out. And you see the investment pouring in. INQ raised $1 billion, aiming for 2 million physical qubits by 2030. NVIDIA's CEO, talking about quantum, has sent related stocks soaring. The momentum it's building, even if the timeline is still debated.
We also saw a couple of interesting new AI model releases pop up on the 13th. Zipu AI, out of China, open-source GLM 4.5EV, it's a big one, 106 billion parameters, multimodal, so it understands images and text.
Open-source keeping pace.
Yeah, and performing at state-of-the-art levels on tons of benchmarks, 41 of them. It shows how fast open-source is advancing. And NVIDIA released FLUX.1 Context. This one's for image editing, designed to run well on local PCs with their RTX GPUs. Cuts VRAM use in half, doubles the speed. So, better AI image tools running right on your own machine.
Making powerful AI more accessible locally is always a good trend.
And one last item from that packed day. YouTube started piloting a new age verification system in the US, and it's AI powered.
AI verifying age, how does that work?
It apparently infers your age based on your viewing habits, you know, your search history, the types of videos you watch, maybe how old your account is. The idea is it can override birth dates people might have entered incorrectly, or, let's be honest, falsely. There is an appeal process, though.
That definitely raises some interesting questions, doesn't it? Using AI to infer personal data like age based on behavior, it highlights that constant tension, platform control versus user privacy, and the power of AI to make these kinds of judgments about us based on our digital footprints.
Wow. Okay, just recapping that single day, August 13th, 2025. The sheer amount of activity is incredible. You've got massive corporate bids, really personal rivalries between tech titans, quantum computing breakthroughs, major pivots in AI applications, new government strategies, even secret chip trackers.
It's a whirlwind. And each of these stories, like we said at the start, it's a piece of this much larger mosaic that's unfolding incredibly fast. Understanding these details, even from just one day, really helps you connect those dots. You start to see the bigger patterns, maybe anticipate what might come next.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, here's something to think about. AI is weaving itself deeper and deeper into everything we do, how we find information, how we entertain ourselves, how governments operate, even potentially how our brains might interface with machines one day. Given all that, what's our role? What responsibility do we have just as users, as observers, in guiding how this technology develops ethically? How do we make sure its benefits are shared widely, truly for everyone? What stands out to you about how all this innovation might shape the world you live in? Lots to ponder there.